There we go. Good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Excellent. Are you ready for the snow? I can't believe some people said yes. How dare you? I am just honored to be here this morning just to share with you. Pastor Jeff is still away in Vietnam. In Thailand. I was in Vietnam and Thailand, but he is in Thailand. He's in Ben Wai Sawan right now preaching this morning in a few hours. So just continue just to pray for him and Briar and Ainsley as they minister. And we're just excited to have him back. But it's been pretty nice to have him away, let's be honest. I got so much work done this week. I can't believe it. No, we just want to honor him and just keep praying for him as they head back. And we're just praying for just awesome things when he comes back, just to be able to testify of what happened down there and just how he's making an impact. I had the chance to go to Thailand and Vietnam. It was amazing. I know we're going to possibly talk about that a little later on, but it was an incredible trip. We got to see healings happen. We saw boys and girls worshiping God. I actually got to preach at a youth service, and it was very awesome just to be a part of that different world. The hardest part, I think, for myself was preaching and then waiting for the person to translate. It was one of my fears. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, and this is going to be tough. And I actually practiced at home, and it was such a weird disconnect, because you would talk, and then you just kind of sit there and you wait, and you just hope that you can remember the next point you have. And so I'm like constantly doing this and just making sure I'm following along. But and it's hard too, because you get so geared up sometimes, and then all of a sudden you go, you're waiting for the translator, and you're like, I'm kind of calmed down now. Right? So you had to kind of work your best with it. But it was an amazing experience. We had great translators, so it was pretty awesome. This morning we are continuing our second chapter in the Velcro Making Relationships Stick series. Now, that was a mouthful for sure. And I'm excited to share this with you this morning. It's talking about building trust. And this is a great message, and I'm very excited to share it with you. And I thought, what better way to start it off than with a little story to get you kind of thinking about where we're going. Let me just read this to you. It says, a little girl and her father were crossing a bridge. The father was kind of scared, so he asked his little daughter, sweetheart, please hold my hand so you don't fall into the river. The little girl said, no, Dad, taken aback. You hold my hand. What's the difference? Asked the puzzled father. There's a big difference, replied the little girl. If I hold your hand and something happens to me, chances are that I may let go. But if you hold my hand, I know for sure that no matter what happens, you will never let my hand go. Think about that for a second. The trust of a little girl to her father. That's what we're talking about today. How do we build that trust, not just with our family, but the people we deal with on an everyday basis? How do we involve our mission to be called to reach others if we are having a tough time even trusting people? This morning, I want to share this with you, but let me pray first so we can get right into it. Lord God, we love you today. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thankful that you are a trusting Father, that you love us, God. Lord, I pray this morning that the words that are spoken are not from me, they're from you, God. Lord, I pray that the scripture I get to read today is piercing into our hearts of how to trust others by trusting you, God. So, Lord, be with us today. We love you so much. We thank you for CPC. We thank you for our community in Orleans. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. The reality is that we can't fully understand trust and the ability to trust others if we're not first willing to put that trust in God. See, I can trust Jen, and Jen can trust me, and I know that in everything that she does, I can trust her, and I know that in everything I do, she can trust me. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, of course, yeah, Jen is very trustworthy. But I know you're also thinking, I don't know about Jordan. I don't know, he can be a little shady. I don't know what's going on. But I know that because of our relationship, of who she is to me, and who I am to her, that we fully have a trusting factor in our lives that is strong. It's not perfect. There are moments where we're like, oh, I trusted you to pick up the milk, and I did not pick up that milk, right? So there's little things that you're like, you work through, but overall, the love supersedes the little mini things that we may have mistakes in, and allows us to trust each other through all the big things. I want to share with you something that was really on my heart that was an incredible story. And speaking of our little story, Jen and I, as we dated and had this relationship, it was awesome. And it was never, I don't think there was ever a moment, even when we were dating, because of the stuff that I've experienced in the past, there was never a moment where I didn't say, I don't trust you, I can't be with you. There was never a moment there. There's moments where you kind of question. There's moments where you kind of ponder. But there was never any doubt in my mind. When I knew that the connection was so strong, I knew that there was no doubt in my mind that I could trust her with everything. And then even after being married 13 years, yes, I remember, June 14th, come on, I know. I know that through it all, through those 13 years, almost 14, I know that I can trust Jen and she can trust me. And I know that relationship actually is not getting weaker, but it's getting stronger because of the time we spend together. Because that relationship has to continue to stay strong. That's the reality with our relationship with God. Our relationship with God should not be so much trust him when we need him, but it should be trust him all the time. Put our trust in the Lord all the time with every detail. That is what he's asking for. He's asking for us to say, hey, will you just lay down everything? Will you lay down everything? Will you lay down the small details, the big details, and even the non-consequential details? Will you lay all those down? Will you be with me? See, and there's this amazing story in the Bible I want to share with you, because I want you to realize that there's some key things that happen when we start to begin to trust others and ultimately trust God. What we want to see is we want to be able to see that we can have a life that we can be trustworthy to others and that they can count on us. The reality is still, we have to understand that we're not perfect and only God is. And so I want to share the story. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 1. You can get your Bibles out. And the first thing I want to share is that initial induction of trusting someone. There's this beginning that happens that says, okay, I'm either going to trust this person or I am not. There's no like, I might trust him. You either have to just give that trust or you don't. We put our trust in a lot of things. Sometimes it's not even people. We put our trust in all kinds of things. We look at someone and say, wow, they dress well. I trust them, right? We look at we look at how people talk and we're like, wow, good communicator. Trust him, right? We also read stuff online. And we go, trust that. They said it. It's got to be true, right? And you see it all the time. Facebook is notorious for that. I love my brother, but he is all of a sudden anywhere, this political, I'm not going to go one side or the other. Don't worry, I won't talk about it too much. But he's all about making sure that he has this little political spot where he kind of just shares his opinion. And every time I see it, nothing against my brother because I love him very much, I'm always like, oh. I'm like, why can't we just post pictures of people and friends and fun things, right? Why does it have to be so scary and weird and all this other stuff? It's amazing. It's amazing what we accept and what we trust right away. But beyond that, this story that I'm going to share with you was about a king who had to do something extreme. He was put in a spot of desperation, and he had to put his trust in God. See, this initial induction, this induction period of trusting someone starts with acceptance. You have to make that choice. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Do you accept it? And once you do, you are now invested. You are like, here is now I am in. I am willing to trust that person. Here we go. scary. But the thing you have to remember is that if you're going to trust someone, the starting process, have confidence. Have confidence to know beyond that, hey, they're going to do their best. Hey, they're going to try their best. Because we have to also remember beyond that, God has control. That person that you've trusted doesn't have control over you. They never will. See, we think the media has control. We think these political powers have control. We think all these different areas are controlling our lives. We can get into this whole conspiracy thing. But the reality is, you need to remember, God is in control. He's got it. He's already got it figured out. In fact, he already knows the ending. And yet we still worry. We get all caught up. We're like, no, I won't trust that person. No, I won't trust nobody. I'm not going to trust anybody. Reality is you can't. You can't. You have to trust people. Think about all the things you did even just this morning of what you used to even brush your teeth. You have to trust that person that made that toothbrush. You have to trust the running water when you turn it on. You have to trust that alarm clock, either on your phone or on your radio, to make sure it wakes you up. There's so many things that we put our trust in, yet when something is scary, when that fear creeps in, that's when we stop trusting. And I'm telling you, to start that trust, you need to have that confidence, the confidence to believe that God has got your back. He's got control. So the story I'm going to share with you is King Jehoshaphat. It's a great name. I won't make fun of it. I won't add any cheesy jokes. I'll leave that for Pastor Jeff. But King Jehoshaphat loved God. He loved him so much. And he made some bad choices. He followed some kings that were not doing what they were supposed to do. Yet he still, he put his trust in people and got messed up. He was like, oh, I made a huge mistake. But he still searched for God. He didn't go to the political people that he had involved. He didn't go to all this other thing. He always went to God. He said, God, I want you and you alone. And now this huge dilemma shows up. This huge thing happens. And if you start reading, it says, now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. See, I was reading up on this, doing research, and it says that Jehoshaphat actually made peace with people. People were actually, the surrounding areas were actually afraid, not of him, but afraid because in a sense that they loved God, is they knew that God was with Jehoshaphat. So they didn't bother him. They were like, this is peaceful. They had the fear of God in Jehoshaphat, knowing that he was taken care of. And the people all around were like, this is good. But these people, these ones that are the Moabs and the Ammon and the people from the Meunites, they decided to now let's attack. And you ask, why? Why would they just out of nowhere attack? And see, if you dig back, you look at who he trusted before. And he trusted a king that was not doing well. And they made a huge mistake. And I believe that these tribes, these people that were coming in to destroy, to take over, were like, oh, he's vulnerable now. Let's get him. You don't just attack just because. You wait till the person's guard is down and then you attack. And so now you see this out of nowhere. It seems that he's going to have his whole area thrown over. So let's read on. It says, then some came and reported Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar. Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention, you ready? To seek the Lord. He didn't go to his people. He didn't go to all the other people, to all his officials. He sought the Lord. And it says, and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah, all Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. They came from all over. And he said, we're going to have a day of fasting and prayer. Because if we're going to believe that God is going to take control of our lives, we don't need to start this army. We don't need to build it up. We need to first seek God. First seek him. Let's do that first. And it wasn't like an easy prayer. He said, look, we need to be desperate for God because we are in a desperate situation. So let's get desperate for God. And the easiest way to do that is start fasting. Start taking away what's necessary in our lives and put what is necessary in our lives. See, they started fasting and praying. And then it says in verse 5 that Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not ruler of all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it. You have built you have a sanctuary there in your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how now, how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you have given to us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Here it is. But our eyes are on you. It says, all of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, wives, and their children. They cried out to God. They said, God, we need you. We are desperate. We are willing to sacrifice for your glory because we know that you are already going to win the battle. We have to believe that. Church, you need to believe that in your stress in your lives, in the things that you deal with. You need to believe first with confidence that God is in control. You need to. I'm not saying it because I have to. I'm telling you because I've seen it in my own life. When I have put God first, there is nothing that's going to stand in my way because I know God's got me. See, when we have that confidence, then we start to head into this next step. And it's the process and development of building trust, of understanding how trust works in our lives. See, we've got through the beginning. We have the confidence now. We're starting to see what happens when we trust others. So we start to become reliable. That person becomes reliable. They go, okay, their words and their actions are solid. It's great. See, what's added to that is safety. There's now this protection, this security to go, I can breathe. I'm going to be okay. And there's this caring sense that comes over you to know that that person is willing to be helpful and assist with you. And lastly, in this process, in this trust process you're dealing with, there's honesty. See, because if you trust that person, you know that they're not going to lie to you, and you're not going to lie to them. You start to kind of open up. You start to say, hey, I'm willing to tell you the truth. I'm not willing to hold back. I want to trust you through it all. See, I know with Jen and I, our relationship has to be open. I can't hide things from her because she'll find them. She's really good at that. No, I'm kidding. And I know that we have an open conversation. There are things I'm frustrated with. I don't hold back. I don't yell and go crazy. We actually don't. It's kind of weird, maybe. I know every family's different. But we don't have, like, these fighting contests. We're like, ah, right? We don't attack each other. We actually discuss. And sometimes it can be sharp. Sometimes it can be a little tart, I guess you could say. A little, you're like, ooh, that was a good one. Usually I'm the one saying that. Just joking. But I know that I can be open with her. That I know that if I'm frustrated with something with her, I can talk to her about it. I know that she's not going to be like, what? And just flip out and turn tables and, you know, go on a talk show. Don't take notes. Everyone else take notes. I know that she understands me, and I understand her, so we walk through it. She's like, okay, I see that. And I'm not going to divulge too much, but I can speak my mind very quickly. Jennifer takes her time. She processes really good, and I love that. And sometimes I don't love that. So I'm like, talk to me now, right? Tell me what's wrong. And she's like, ah. Right? So I just learned a lot of patience. But we work through it. We get through it. And at the end of the day, I know that I'm like, I still trust her 100%. Still good. Still good. That process has to continue. And so Jehoshaphat prays his prayer. He calls out to God. Doesn't do it alone. Has everyone join in. Says, I need all of you, Judah. I need all of you to participate. See, if we're going to trust God with all our heart, I need you, church. I need you to trust in God. I need you to have that process to go, look, I know that I don't have, there's some relationships I'm dealing with that aren't great. You need to start trusting God through it all. Because he's already working that process. He's already deciding how that's going to work out. He already knows the end result. Just got to let it allow God to process that. Pardon me. So it says, starting in verse 14, in this process and development, see, God is not doesn't do things small. And I love this about God. He sometimes will speak to us in a small voice, but he doesn't do things. His actions are never small. And it says in verse 14, then it, in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you. I love that Tim Beach talked about the minor prophets because I love this because this is perfect timing. Prophet calls out, not an official, not another person that's high up in rank, not a soldier, not one of anyone else, but a prophet calls out. Why? Because the prophets are trusted. See, King Jehoshaphat knows the prophets are strong. They know that they have direct link with God. And so when they speak, everyone listens. So he says this, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Let me repeat that again for you. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. What? You need not fight. You just have to go. You just have to get out there and stand before them. Because you need not fight. See, we want to fight when things kind of don't go our way. When we see that the trusting factor is faltering or someone makes a mistake, we want to fight. God's saying, don't fight. Don't fight. I got you. It says, station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. I love that. What I love here is what happens. It says, after hearing this, after hearing the voice of the Lord, after hearing the prophet pour out what God is going to do, it says that King Jehoshaphat, he gets down on his knees and just praises God. He just gives up. He surrenders. And it says the Levites actually stand up and start shouting out to God. See, we all praise differently. We all worship differently. And when we need God, when we know that his power is with us, we need to praise him. We need to celebrate him. We need to say, thank you, God, for all that you do. Thank you for saving me. Because the battle is not mine. It is yours. You need to hear that, church. We need to praise him. When I face things, you can read about it in the Bible so many times, but we need to worship God. We need to praise his name. See, so many times in the Bible, what do people do when they are going through that process? They don't give up. They don't get afraid. They start worshiping. Look at Paul and Silas. They were in jail. I don't want to go to jail, but they were in jail, and yet they still praise God. Like, come on. They were praising him. They were saying, yes, God, I need you. I want more of you. Whatever you have for us, I'm going to put my trust in you. And you know their story. What's amazing is that from trusting someone, when we fully allow our trust to be given and accepted, we see this process. We see the caring mentality. We see all these things happen in our lives that are going, wow, this is good stuff. But what about the last part of it? What do we get out of it? And this is what I believe is called encountering the fruition. See, we get this blessing. When we know that we can trust someone, when we know we can put our trust in God, there's this blessing that comes upon us. See, when I know that I can trust my friends, or I can trust Jennifer, or I can trust my kid, my son or daughter to do something, my daughter not so much, she's still learning, but when I'm putting their trust in them to do something or something I've asked them to do, I know because I love them, I'm trusting them, and I'll see that blessing because they'll actually do it. See, when our words are yes and amen, we know that his words are yes and amen. We need to believe that because we'll see the blessing come from it. We'll see what God has in store for us. And I love this story because where this goes is so awesome. Because of this blessing, there's this solution that happens, this consummation of trust. All of a sudden comes to this full conclusion. And from that is the blessing. And I believe, church, I believe that if we're going to put our trust in people, and if they're going to put our trust in us, it's got to be reciprocal. We got to allow that to work both ways. See, we can't just expect people to put our trust in, you know, me as a children's pastor. I can't just say, well, don't worry, Pastor Jeff. You got me. I'll figure it all out. I'll do everything myself. Don't worry about it. And if I don't put my trust in others, then it looks bad upon me. It looks like, well, Pastor Jeff is willing to trust me, but I'm not willing to trust anyone else. See, it's got to be reciprocal. It's got to cycle through. See, so I know that within a shadow of a doubt that my kids' ministry is taking place right now with Chris and Darlene Van Herten, and I know that God's in control. I know that they might do some extra things that I don't do. They might say some things that I may not say, but I put my trust in them. I say, you know what? You guys have shown, we've built this trust together. I've seen the process, and I've seen how the kids have been blessed. I've seen the kids come out of there going, that was awesome. Thank you so much, Chris and Darlene. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. So I know that because I've allowed my trust to be in them, I know that things are going to work out. I know that those kids are being blessed right at this very moment. See, I actually was doing some research about how many leaders that are involved in kids' ministry, from nursery to children's ministry to our Wednesday nights. We almost have 100. Pastor Jeff has put me in charge of 100 people. He really trusts me. I am very thankful that he trusts me. And I'm very thankful I can trust those that help out in the nursery, those helping the kids' ministry on Wednesdays and Sundays, and every extra thing that we do. I'm thankful, and I've seen the blessing. I've seen moms and dads that I've never met come to me and say, our nursery is awesome. They're doing a great job. Thank you for blessing us. And as I've connected actually with the coordinators of the nursery, and it's awesome when they're excited about what's coming. See that it's not all placed on me. But they're excited. They're like, yeah, we're seeing the blessing of all these kids coming, and they're transitioning, and we have some really good stuff for them on Sunday mornings. And it's really awesome to see that they're getting blessed as well. See, when you trust others, it has to go both ways. You have to allow yourself to be trusted just as much as you trust in another person. So here we go, the ending. of this story. It says in verse 20, they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established." I love that, that word established. Strength. There's strength in that word. There's power in that word. He said, "Put your trust in the prophets and succeed." And he said, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. When they started praising, when they activated their trust in God, now all of a sudden God's like, "Yes, they're in with me. I am going to do what I've called, what I've said I would do through the prophet. Here we go." And it says it set ambushes for all the tribes that were going to attack Jerusalem and Judah. Here's what happens. I love this. This is so incredible. It says, when they began singing praise, and the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were rooted. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Wow! Can you imagine that? Like, can you imagine just being walking in the distance going, "Why do I hear fighting?" But I'm sure they didn't hear anything because they were praising. But imagine seeing that in the distance, these tribes coming together and all of a sudden attacking each other out of nowhere. These were the ones that were going to run over Judah. And now they're attacking each other. And it says that the two destroy each other, and whoever was left, they destroy each other too. God, our God is a powerful God. It says, when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, I love this, they looked out toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, so many things. There were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. But here it is. What did they do? After they saw the triumph, they saw what happens when you trust God. What was the outcome? What was the fruition? There was the blessing. And the reciprocation was that they now rejoiced. They praised God even more. See, they did it beforehand. They prayed beforehand. They celebrated him and praised him during. And then at the end, they still do it. They say, "God, we love you. God, we praise you. God, we love you so much. We will set up an altar and praise your name upon it because you are good, that you take care of us, that you will always provide for us." And through it all, you look at verse 30, it says, "So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides." Incredible. Incredible what God can do. That this truth, this story that's involved with so many different people, you still see the trust that King Jehoshaphat initially had with God. See, if we're going to be able to trust in the people around us, the people that we love, and the people that we first meet, we got to remember to first trust God. We need to say, "God, I need you first." That is how it's going to work. That is how you're going to see success. That is how you're going to see all the things that you've been called to do, that God has spoken to you through the years or even this morning. That's how you're going to see it come to fruition. You need to praise him through it. You need to honor him. You need to let him take full control of your life. One of my favorite verses that I want to share with you this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3. And you guys know this. But I want to read the whole part of it because I believe that King Jehoshaphat knew these words. I believe that he recognized what past kings, the good kings, did because God was first in control. And it says in verse 1, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." Here's the verse. "Trust in the Lord with all your and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." He will direct your path. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be," ready for this, "healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, so your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." See, there are moments where I have to discipline my son, and I don't like it. It actually breaks my heart. Especially if it's something very serious. And there was one time, I remember disciplining him, and I was almost in tears just even trying to say it to him, because I was upset. I knew that he did something wrong, and I almost couldn't get through it. But what I knew through it all is that he took that discipline. He didn't complain about it. He didn't fight back. He said, "Daddy, I trust you. All right." I could see it in his eyes. I could see it how he was paying attention, and he actually followed through with what the discipline was. It doesn't happen all the time. But your kids know at that moment that he loves me. And he knew at that moment that he did something wrong, yet because of the discipline, because of what he had to go through, he knew that there was going to be something better coming along. And he knew that he could now put his trust in me. And I could now start trusting him to never do that again. See, I want to share one more story with you this morning. It's the story of this woman. This woman was married, and yet she couldn't put her trust in her husband. She went out searching for something else, and she found someone else. And so this relationship started, this relationship of sin, knowing that she knew what her sin was, yet she didn't care because she was like, "I can't put my trust in my husband. I don't know all the details, but I know that this woman was with that man, this new man, and it was broken. She was hurting because she was searching for something. She was searching for someone that she could trust, even just a small amount. She was looking for something that she thought was going to fulfill her life. She was filling in the gap of what needed to happen in her life to feel fulfilled. She didn't look to God. And it was missing. She comes out of this man's house one morning, kisses him goodbye, turns around, and in front of her are men. They're standing at her, staring at her. They don't look happy. They look very angry. She recognizes who they are. They were men that knew the laws of Moses. And they took her. They dragged her. Now she starts screaming. She starts saying, "God, what is going on? What are you doing to me?" And they don't say anything. They push her down. They they drag her along. They kick her. They keep bringing her. They're like, you're going to be an example today. It is time to show who this person is. We're going to set the biggest example ever. We're going to show off your sin. So they drag her early in the morning. They drag her in front of the temple. And she can, all she has is dust in her eyes and her hair. And she's bawling. She can't figure it out. She can't understand why she's getting beaten and thrown apart. That it is her life, that she can live the way she wants. But she also knows that there are very, very punishable acts in this time. She stood up. She's paraded in front of the temple. She stands there, shaking and in awe of what's going to happen. She knows the next step. And through the dust, she recognizes someone that's kneeling on the ground. She doesn't know who it is. That person won't even acknowledge these men, these Pharisees, these scribes. They won't acknowledge, he won't even acknowledge them. And they start yelling at him. They start yelling at this man that's just kind of relaxing on the ground. Almost like he knows, he's thinking something. And she hears through all the muffle. She knows that she's feeling hurt and bruised and beaten. And through all the pain that she's experiencing, she hears this muffling of voices yelling. This is a sinner. She is an adulteress. You know what we need to do. What are you going to call us to do? What should we do? Judge her. Silence hits that whole area. That man stands up, says he straightens his body. And I believe in that moment, just like he did with Peter, he glanced at that woman. There was contact, eye contact, direct eye contact. And he didn't need to say anything because his eyes, filled with love and joy and compassion, said, trust me, I got this. He stands before the temple and says those words. He says, if he who is without sin is ready to cast a stone, proceed. At that moment, I believe the woman was ready to die. See, we can be held back from our sin, but when it's fully exposed, all we know is that we're expecting one of two things: extreme discipline or mercy. And she stands there because she can't get away now. She can't run away. There is no escape. And I'm sure she closed her eyes and started flashbacking of her entire life, knowing that she made a mistake. And she's saying, please, please, someone, show mercy. Is there not mercy out there? And all she hears is footsteps. And they get lighter and lighter. She opens her eyes and sees this man back down on the ground. He's kind of just relaxing. He straightens up one more time. Finally, acknowledges her with words. Says, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She looks around. turn, Jesus. She's able to exhale through the pain. She says, "No one, Lord." And Jesus says, "I do not condemn you either. Go, and from now on, sin no more." He was willing to allow there to be trust with this woman who was a sinner, but recognizing her sin, being exposed to it, allowing to go, "Okay, I am fully ready to die. This is it. This is the ending." And knowing that she is now free, that there is no more sin in her life, that she can go and say, "God, I am going to praise you. I know for a fact that woman, because Jesus said it." You hear me again, that Jesus said to sin no more. I believe that woman went out and rejoiced and praised God and said, "Thank you, God. My life has changed. I am ready to live a new life. I am sick of the sin. I got to get my life straight. Here is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. I will rejoice." That trust has to be so key in our lives. It has to be essential in our lives. We need to stop putting aside all the things that we are hurting, that we are mistrusting about, that we are all these ideas about who people are and what they are and who they are and how they say, or whatever they say behind your back, or whatever they say in front of your face. We need to let that go and start trusting people like God has called us to trust, because we know that it's not They're going to be moments of mistrust. But we need to say, "God, you're in control. You got it. You win. You always win." Why do we have such a hard time with that? I know many of you have been praying for my mom. My mom is dealing with stage 4 cancer. And I got to talk to her last night. It was late because I needed to call her. See, my uncle passed away yesterday. Please pray for that family, the Rogers family. And he was an awesome uncle. He was that uncle that you could hang out with, and he would just chat about everything, and sometimes you wouldn't even care what he's talking about. You'd love to be in his presence. Just a great, great man. And has an incredible family. And hearing that news yesterday, I'll be honest, I didn't bawl. I didn't cry my eyes out. It was like God gave me this peace. He said, "Jordan, do you trust me to know where he is?" And I just automatically was like, "Yeah, I do." See, they love God. I've talked to my aunt many times where we had some amazing stories about what God's doing in our lives. And so when I was talking to my mom that is dealing with stage 4 cancer and she's fighting this thing, you know what she says to me? I didn't even say what I was thinking. She said, "Jordan, when I heard the news, it was hard to talk to my other sisters, but I felt at peace." And I knew at that moment, God is always, always in control, because we've first put our trust in him. We've allowed God to be the focus in our lives. And my mom is the same way. She says, "Hey, I'm battling this thing, but I'll fight. I'm going to fight until I either see healing or I see heaven. But I am going to fight. And I'm going to fight with everything I got. I'm going to put my trust in God." So hearing that news was not heartbreaking to her. Because, see, my uncle has dealt with a lot of serious medical things throughout the years. And I think God was saying, "Hey, there's no more sickness. There is no more pain. Because he is renewed. He is made new." I couldn't believe my mom's trust in God, that she's dealing with this, hears of her own brother that passes away and still stands firm on Jesus Christ. We need to continuously do that, church. We need to keep saying, God, I'm going to trust you through it. I'm going to trust you through it. I'm going to trust you through those situations of pain. I'm going to trust you through the situations when I need to go to the hospital again. I'm going to trust you through the situations when I hear about death, when I hear about disease, when I hear about cancer, when I hear about anything that's going to stop me. God, I'm going to step forward and trust you. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I want you to direct my path. This morning I told you that little story about that little girl. I think of my own daughter, Juliana, when I walk with her, and I always want to grab her hand. She doesn't grab mine, I always grab hers. But here it is, church, and let me close with this. When I know that she might be in danger, or she is ready to give up walking, or tired, whatever the case may be, I don't let go. I don't walk away. I go down to her level and I pick her up and I hold her tight and say, I got you. I got you. And I'm never letting go, because I'm going to keep you safe. You need to hear that from God this morning, that he's going to keep you safe. That when you feel like his hand slipping, he knows, church, that he will pick you up and hold you tight. That through every situation, any situation, he has got your back, that he will support you, that he will carry you through the storm. You need to hear that today, church. I know that as we stand here, as I stand here and as you sit here, we are going through some hurt. We are going through some pain. I know that there's people in here that are experiencing no joy. I know that there are people in here that are experiencing that moment that they are ready to give up. But I'm saying to you, church, rejoice, praise God, call out to God, fast, pray, do whatever it takes, because God wants to see it through. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your holiness. God, I praise you. Lord, would you just... Church, would you just call out to him right now? Don't hesitate. See, he wants to hear from you. He doesn't want you to hold back anymore. See, if you need to make your way at the altar this morning because you need to praise him this morning, you need to worship him this morning, I am going to open the altars. We will just, well, open it up. If you need to be here, I believe that there are men and women in here that are hesitating because that pew is comfy. That pew is ready for me to find my exit. But I'm telling you, come and rejoice before the Lord your God, because he is calling you. He is saying, I got your back. I want you to get through this. But are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to lay down everything for me? Because I got you. I will carry you. I will love you. I will give you everything. Call out to me. If that's you this morning, don't hesitate. Come to the front. Just praise him this morning. He is hearing. He knows you're ready. He knows what you're going through. He knows your situation. He knows the pain. He knows the issues. And he's saying, rejoice. Rejoice knowing that you can trust me through it all. We're going to sing this song. And we're just going to call out to God right now. Take a moment, church. If you need to raise your hands, if you need to find a different spot, if you need to find that opportunity just to get alone with God, give him at least a moment of your time this morning. Don't wait. See, he's said, I've opened these doors so you can worship me with everything, with everything. Will you do that this morning with me? I know I need him. Let's just call out to him right now. Thank you, God.
Rushing through me, oh, how beautiful, how beautiful, love amazing, your love has saved me, oh, how
love you today. With arms lifted out and up, God, we praise you today. We thank you that when we have been saved by you, God, that you give us the Holy Spirit, that it comforts us, that it gives us peace. Lord, we thank you for your gift. Lord, I thank you today for CPC. I thank you for the men and women that have entered these doors this morning. Whether it's their first time or they've been here many years, God, I'm just praying, would you allow them just to lay down everything and trust you with everything? God, I pray for the ones that are sick in body. Lord, I pray that they release that pain because they are asking God to do a miracle in their lives. Lord, I am asking for people that are dealing with things in their kids' lives, God. Lord, I pray for breakthrough as they worship you, God. Lord, I am praying for our church to see an expanse of who you are, not just on Sundays, but every day, God, because you are holy and you are magnificent and we need you 24/7, God. So God, be with us today. And Lord, I pray, just like the land of Judah, King Jehoshaphat saw, they witnessed this incredible miracle that they need not to fight because the battle was already yours. God, I pray for the battles in our lives. I pray we stop fighting. I pray we stop fighting against who it is, if they've hurt us. I pray that we stop fighting against who might be wanting to hurt us. And God, I pray that we start pushing back and saying, God, you're in control. You are going to take control of the situation, and we are going to stand firm on that today. God, thank you for establishing that in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we continue to put our trust in you with everything that we do. Give us joy today. Let us just smile upon your face, God, and just know that we love you so much. We thank you. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, amazing day. We love you. I hope the rest of your week is awesome. Pastor Steve, I'll let you close.